Welcome to Read It Reddit. We will be reading from r/tales from the front desk. Our first post is by Financial Elephant 5. It's been a good night and we have one of our regulars staying with us. Everybody that works in the hotel knows him. Everybody also knows him for his drinking antics and his adventures that come after. This one time he thought he lost his very expensive sunglasses and was running around the hotel trying to find them, but the plot twist, he was wearing them the whole time. When I brought that to his attention, he told me this is why we were friends. When he's drunk I can find his sunglasses. This time though, he came down to my lobby, wasted, like I can smell the beer on him from across the lobby, and he stops in front of my freezer. My freezer has ice cream in it, and he always buys some. But tonight he had a confrontation with it. We will call him Mr. Blah, insert Mr. Blah staring at the ice cream me. Hey Mr. Blah, what ice cream do you want tonight? Mr. Blah, no purchase, just came to talk me. Oh okay, what's up? Mr. Blah, oh not you. He then turns to the freezer and points, Mr. Blah, I will not buy you tonight, you hear? Insert pause, Mr. Blah, you are a filthy whore, you hear me? You are evil. Insert another pause, Mr. Blah, you are a evil whore, and I will not fucking buy you. At this point I'm laughing so hard I had to sit on the floor and laugh. He has never done this me. What did the ice cream do to you? Mr. Blah, nothing at all, but a love is taboo and needs to end. You hear me, fuck you, you whore, insert pause, Mr. Blah, I will not buy you, you whore. He then turns and leaves for the elevator as he is yelling and calling my ice cream a whore and calling it evil. The whole time I'm on the floor laughing because it was like he was letting the ice cream talk and was just not having it. That was the last time I saw him tonight. Our next post is by Ziggy Surgery. Obligatory long time lurker, first time poster, written on mobile, etc. I live in and work at a small, locally owned transient stay motel with daily, weekly, and monthly rates. I really can't give any information on the location beyond that we are near water, forests, and lots of outdoor amenities, and we're the closest place in 30 plus mile either way up the road. We typically rent to local workers on oil projects and in factories due to past mismanagement not really capitalizing on all the cool stuff we have around. We are working on that, but it's kind of like building the place from the ground up because it had been handled so poorly by previous management. This unfortunately means that some clients know what we used to be like, trashy, very trashy, and recommend it to their friends as a place where you won't be bothered too much if you have active warrants or bad habits, and we have basically no protocol. My spouse, DH, and I, me, haven't written ourself. We didn't even require driver's licenses until DH and I took it over. Just a name and some money, and you get a key. Not anymore. But, I digress. Single story place, 15 rooms, including utility room to the left and right, with an office in the middle that's really an entry hallway to my living room, where the interior door is always double locked, so guests stand in a little cubby between the outside door and my front door, and deal with us through a guest service window with plexiglass and iron security bars that is set into the wall. We have thick, double pane windows all around the office, so we can see every room door if we open the blinds, but guests can't see in past the office area to where we live. We have dogs in the private area for safety. Guests are never exposed to allergens as the dogs are never in the guest entry point and are legally compliant with all local laws regarding the carrying of firearms for security reasons. It's on the door when you walk in, on big stickers, that there are security cameras in use, guard dogs on property, and we are open and concealed carry compliant. This is relevant to what happens next, but it's not the situation you're likely thinking it will be. Buckle up, snacks are in the cabinet, water cooler is on your left. Every room is occupied right now, except one that is down for a toilet repair. We are insanely busy. I've gotten 10 hours of sleep in 2 days. Our main guard dog, who I will call Doorbell, DB, knows his job. Nobody sneezes without DB making us aware of it. On the off chance DH and I are both in bed, DB makes sure we always know when a guest is here or something is going on outside. He is loud when he wants to be. So Wendy B started throwing a fit at 8 o'clock this morning, more distressed than his usual, "Hey guys, we have guest bark, DH and I knew something was up." DB would not stop bellowing. And I mean, he was throwing a shit fit. Signaling at doors, growling, running back to us to make sure we were awake. Something was wrong. The last time DB acted like this, a guest was on crack cocaine and alcohol, trying to rip apart our walls with their bare hands and fist fight his nephew in the parking lot. We listen to DB. DB is a smart puppy. DH throws on his bathrobe, best slippers, and grabs his keys all, while I'm rolling around in bed trying to hush the dog and let him know we hear him, before he busts a vocal cord. I'm 2/3 awake, after being up late the night, before handling check-ins and the nightly lockup and paperwork, but I'm starting to get the feeling something isn't right. DB is hot on his dad's heels. I'm worried, but DH is over 6 feet tall and the son of a veteran, plus the long-term renter on the one side of the office who's been with us 4 years carries a gun, and if he wasn't awake already, since he's usually awake at 6 a.m. on his days off, DB carrying on has made sure he knows something is weird. DH, there's a truck in the driveway with its doors wide open. Nobody inside. Me, what? Crap. I'm up. Go check, and I'll wait with DB by the phone. Don't leave the porch, so I can see you. DH knows I have the direct cell number of our local police chief. We are third cousins. He heads out the door and neither of us see anyone, until he turns to head left toward room 1. Around the corner, comes a man in jeans, blue shirt, tactical vest, hat and carrying a military issue R-15 assault rifle with laser sight and sidearm pistol. He is not wearing a badge or anything to identify he is law enforcement, and my heart hits my toes. DH stops dead in his tracks, and says something I can't hear. He and the man exchange words. I see DH hand the man the master key ring, not, and then DH immediately turns, and briskly enters the secret side door to our bedroom, that looks like a guest room door but isn't. DH is in his jeans, work boots and shirt, before I can get to the bedroom. DH, did you rent to a guest name the other night? Me, yes. Why? What? DH, DB is about to go nuts. Keep the dogs loose. Get to the office, and call general manager in about 10 minutes. What room #1? And then he's out the door again, on the porch by the main office door, before I can blink, and lighting a cigarette. Okay, cool, he's smoking and I don't have a gun in my face, he clearly knows something I do not. Excellent. I have a clear view of the door to the room in question and GM number already dialed on my phone ready to hit send. Dogs are pacing around, my legs still growling and occasionally barking, and I'm looking at DH smoking on the patio next to this still wide open truck 300 feet from this guy with a gun, like he has grown a second head. And then I see it, 4 cop cars roll from either direction into the lot right as another plainclothes man with a gun, hidden at his back, zeroes in on room #1 with the original gunman, Og. Og gets there with the master key ring, and they position on either side of the door. A K9 unit and 4 SWAT team members come around the side of the building next to room 1 and surround the door. Key goes in the door, they knock open the door, and male guest exits with his hands up. K9 unit is going ballistic, guns are drawn, our dogs are howling by now, and I'm probably making a face like a stunned carp. Then, against all concept of intelligence both situational or otherwise, idiot guest tries to make a run for it straight toward DH and the open truck. I gasp, see DH tense out of the corner of my eye, and in glorious slow motion watch the foot of the guest turned convict catch one of the plastic chairs on the patio, before he makes it 3 feet. He stumbles like a newborn de-learning to use its legs. Plainclothes guy #2 grabs him about the waist along with another uniform, and they tackle him into the door of room 2. I'm suddenly thankful we paid extra for the fancy reinforced doors during renovations. He gets a few kicks into the shins of the officers, and I watch him pull something from his pocket before that K9 unit slams into him with the force of a thunderbolt and down they all go. DH has an awfully smug look on his face. DB is snarling behind my legs, as if daring somebody to sic him on the bad guy, because he can do a better job than that police dog anyway, and I'm frantically pulling all information we have on the guests in that room. Medical services is called. A few townies I know are starting to form a crowd, and I'm calling my GM knowing full well she's still in bed right now, but will want to know about this. Turns out, buddy in room 1 is a previously convicted pedophile with a drug habit. Solicitation of a minor aged 15 and 2 counts of child pornography from 2 years ago. His girlfriend told the cops all the drugs were his, and they must have believed her, because they let her pack her crap and leave, after she sat on the porch, in cuffs for 45 minutes. I watch them pull evidence from the room and search the car, then bag and tag several things from room 1, Im's treated idiot guy's dog bites, scraped head, and busted face, and then send him off with the cops. DH and I let girl have until normal checkout, 11 a.m. to get her crap and go, all cops to clear out, and then check the room. She left some of boyfriend's crap, a camping LED light, ratchet set, some nasty work clothes, and there's blood on the carpet but nothing we can't handle. DH later informed me that the guy with the gun simply stated he was here to serve a warrant for an arrest and asked for his keys, otherwise they would have to breach the door, then showed him a very well hidden badge. DH says I was in a bathrobe. He had an assault rifle. Naturally, I gave him my F**king keys. I'm awake for the day. Edit, as pointed out by a commenter, and further researched by yours truly, Military Carry M4S. As Grandmama always says, almost counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. It was a nice gun though and definitely an R. Very shiny. Edit, 2, dog tags. He's smaller than you think, and louder than the gods ever intended. He is not shrill, he has a bark like a dog 7 times his size. I swear he's 70% lung. https://imga.com/a/v5wwjtd. Our next post is by Bathtub Full of Hot Dogs. Normally if I post it's about insane guest situations, however today the most spectacularly ridiculous thing happened with a staff member that I need to share with others who will understand. A month ago we hired a girl, she had 2 full weeks of training, myself and other co-workers got roughly 3 days, and she had 50-page training packet that went over hotel polices, dress codes, how to make a reservation, how to change this or that, how to fix the weird ass cable boxes in the rooms, how to do almost everything step by step, and it had pictures in case she was a visual. Lena, it was the most comprehensive packet that has ever been given out. She did really well in training, and she would bring in her packet, so we were hopeful and confident. When the time came for her to work without a shadow, however, things did not go as well. It was as though we had pulled her in off the street and just threw her into our system etc. She couldn't do the basics, and for whatever reason refused to speak at a normal volume on the phone. She would literally whisper to people to the point of people hanging up on her thinking something was wrong with the phones. She would check people in without payment, which at our property, is breaking the biggest and most important rule, cash before keys, because we get a ton of people that will try to skip out, so we require payment on the day of arrival, direct bill to random accounts for non-direct bill guests, promised a guest who couldn't do stairs due to extreme medical issues a room on the ground floor, but then booked her for a room on the second floor, no elevator, on a night when we were completely sold out, would not tell anyone who called that our pool, hot tub, breakfast etc. were closed due to COVID, and would randomly move rooms around without updating it in the computer or on the paper reg cards, so we literally had to knock on doors to find out who was where. One day the doorknob to the bathroom broke. She was told multiple times not to use it, and to just use a blocked guest room, because the doorknob was broken, and she would get locked in. There was a note in our system about it, and there was a huge out of order sign on the door, and for unknown reasons she went in anyways, without the phone, and got locked in for an hour. A pizza delivery guy happened to pass by, and he had to hunt down a construction worker from the parking lot, to get her out of the bathroom. This girl was something else. She was the least competent person we have ever had on the desk, and we once had a girl bang on doors at 1 a.m. and tell people to leave and go to the hospital, because the hotel was infested with bedbugs and their bites were fatal. For obvious reasons, she was let go today, and she freaked out in a way we have never seen before. People get pissed when they get let go sometimes, it happens. She wasn't the first person to be mad about it, but she crossed a line that had never been crossed before. She literally ran into the GM's office and told him that two staff members, a front desk agent and a maintenance guy, were fucking in the suite every chance they got, and that she had proof, and she was getting fired because she caught them having sex when they were supposed to be fixing a TV, and everyone else in the building was lazy and incompetent, and she never made any mistakes ever. She literally tried to throw every other front desk staffer under the bus. When she did not get a hug, her job back, and an apology, she again literally ran out to her car to get the proof of staff banging each other, and promptly fled, because in a backslash shocking backslash twist of events, she did not have any proof. She proceeded to drive to the home of the front desk girl she accused of banging the maintenance guy and knock on the door. Mind you, the girl she accused was at work at this time, and had watched the whole situation unfold. Since she obviously wasn't home, her boyfriend answered, and she went off telling him to leave her, because she was a cheating whore, etc, etc. This girl went out of her way to go to someone's home to stir the pot and start drama. I figured she would not take her firing well, so I blocked calls and texts from her the night prior, not wanting to be woken up at 8 a.m. by her freaking out and blaming me, even though I had nothing to do with it. I'm really glad I did, because apparently she texted and called others going off on them, and tried to backtrack to those she accused of banging by apologizing and swearing she didn't mean it. This girl yelled and stomped her feet like a damn kid about how they were fucking, her exact word choice. She yelled this and told this to every staffer in the building and still tried to backtrack like it was just a simple misunderstanding. She misspoke, she didn't actually mean it, she was just kidding. We have had people do some seriously shady stuff at work. We had one woman who would go into empty rooms and drink beer on the clock. We had another girl drop acid. We've had people deal drugs and hook up at work. But they were all caught pretty quickly, because we have cameras, and on first shift, both of the accused parties only work mornings. There are a dozen or so other employees that constantly need help from or need to check in with the front desk and maintenance. So if they're gone from their post for more than a pee break, people are hunting them down. The GM has had to watch the camera footage every day for the last few weeks anyways, because we have been getting complaints about the girl we had to fire, and about housekeeping, so anything suspicious would have been seen. That and both parties are decent people who are happy with their partners. This is by far the craziest firing we have ever had. I mean, we expected her to be upset. She definitely thought she was all that and a bag of chips, so to be told, sorry it's not working, obviously wasn't going to sit well, but this was something else. Anyone else have any crazy firing stories? Edit, thank you to whomever gave me the energy award. It is definitely needed. We have all been working 50 to 60 hours trying to clean up after this girl instead of our normal 40, and we'll have to continue working 12s and 16s until we can get someone to replace her, so I'm definitely feeling drained. Our next post is by Tappy55. You guys asked for more train stories. I delivered more train stories. Most of our longer trains are divided into seats and cabins. Commuters take the seats, long haulers take the cabins. This started in the seats, but ended up in the cabins. I was the lead attendant, also known as the boss, that night. Now, that didn't happen very often. The person with the most experience is the boss. I was 20 at the time, kinda sorta had been doing train attending since I was 18, but officially since I was 19. 1 to 2 years of experience put me as the lead, which meant that the rest of the passenger facing crew was even less experienced than I was. Kawaka came up to me, explained that she had an encounter with a passenger. Based on what she said, a man was violently fisting a woman in a seat. Both were obviously drunk, and they continued directly in front of my cowwalker after she told them to stop. She threatened to stop the train and call the police, and they went to a cabin. I didn't need any more than that to decide we were kicking them off, for sure. I grabbed a few other Caucas, we went to the cabin, and started banging that door. No response, dead silence, bad drunk smells. We ended up unlocking the door from the outside, as it turns out both of them are unconscious. There's broken glass all over the floor, uncapped needles, urine, open bottles/cans, food, everything everywhere. Of note, both were unconscious, and the female half had a needle sticking out of her arm. Also of note, the female had a top but nothing for the bottoms in terms of clothing. On our assessment, it was pretty obvious that the male was breathing relatively normally, while the female wasn't. This next part is why we wear running shoes instead of heels or dress shoes. We ended up carrying the female out into the aisle. We couldn't find a pulse, but then again it's a bumpy moving train. It was obvious she wasn't breathing. It ended up resulting in us cutting off the one piece of clothing she had on and starting CPR. I had one of my coworkers go grab the emergency medical kit, EED, and Narcan. I informed the driver to stop the train for a medical event and called emergency services. The driver stopped at a road/rail intersection and I used my phone's GPS to figure out where, so we got the ambulance coming. We ended up switching out on CPR to me. Very obviously breaking ribs, very violent, very uncomfortable feeling. In addition to that, the customer had XL plastic fake boobies with no bra, which made CPR extra difficult. We got the EED, it shocked her once, and we gave a total of 2 mg Narcan. Ambulance came and continued, shocked her again, did another 2 minutes of CPR, gave fuck ton of Narcan with other drugs, and she got her heart rate back. They put a breathing tube in her, carry her out, and to the ambulance. Another ambulance had to come, because the police weren't comfortable with taking the other drunk unconscious guy, so he went to the hospital. Fun times, am I right? Our next post is by Financial Elephant 5. Yes, you read that right. I have been working 3 to 11 all weekend, and all weekend we have had two massive families in house 220 and 212. The kids in these rooms are cousins, their grandma is in 302. Saturday night, all 8 kids in this family, including both sets of parents, all went into the pool last night, and out of nowhere they vanished. It was like they were running from something. A family brought it to my attention shortly after, that there were some questionable things on the bottom of the pool. I said, "Let's have a look." I walked into the pool room, and looked at it, and I could instantly tell what it was. Some shithead kid tuck a bunch of tiny little shits all over the bottom of my pool and spread them all around the bottom. I of course, had to shut the pool down. I cleaned out the fun little nuggets and my maintenance man came in, and shocked the pool. Pool was out of order for the rest of the night. For the rest of the night, I got screamed at left and right over a damn pool, like, "Bruh, my hot tub is open, but not my pool." After I told them why it was out of order, they would start yelling at me for the kids not being able to control their fucking bodily functions. Okay, well, I didn't shit in the pool, dude. We couldn't pin down the family who did it. We had multiple families in and out of there until Sunday morning rolled around. My GM texted me and said a kid in 220 came down and bragged about shitting in our pool. She told him not to do it again, and it is unsafe for him to do, since the dad that was next to him didn't seem to care at all. He rolled his eyes at my boss, and asked when the pool will be open, so they can swim before they leave. Boss asked what time they were checking out. They said at 1 p.m, late checkout. She said the pool will be open at 2 p.m. then, and 1 p.m. is the latest checkout available with no room for extending. I come in for my shift and I see the family and 212 is in the pool, yay. They, once again, all vanished out of nowhere, and hurried their herd of children to the room. A minute later, a kid walked up to me from the pool room, and told me a bunch of kids took a shit in the pool. I just stared at him in disbelief, because no way, that would happen 2 goddamn nights in a row. Nope, it was shit. But this time, it looked like the entire family did it at once. I walked into the pool room to shut the pool down, and the family in there said the family saw what their kids did and got up and left the pool. I called my boss and told her what happened. She then asked me to transfer her to the room. She told them they are banned from the pool for the rest of the stay because the kid that admitted to doing it the first time was associated with them. So, the family had done it twice now. So, if we see them in the pool room at all, including the hot tub, they will be charged a cleaning fee for both nights. An hour after my boss told them they are banned, they came downstairs. We gonna call the mom, Karen. Karen, I'm so sorry my kids did that. If I noticed that my kid did that, I wouldn't have ran out of the pool room like I did. Me, it's fine. My pool is just out of order, but my hot tub is fine, Karen. But, I don't think it's fair to assume we did that in the pool last night. Motherfucker, what? Me, well, the kid in 220, who is associated with your family, staying under your mother's name, came down this morning and admitted to it. He bragged about it. Karen, I'm not sure why he would say that, because I know he didn't do it. She tried to argue and get me to say the kid didn't do it, but it just got to the point I told her whatever my GM says goes, and the kid from your party said that to us this morning. If he was making it up, I don't know what to tell you on that. My pool is now out of order, so it doesn't matter. Now they quickly ran out of the hotel after that. I think we should charge them the cleaning fees for both nights, and charge them for every person that screamed at me last night, along with who is going to scream at me tonight. Our next post is by Mia13. Like I said in an earlier post, we have themed rooms, so our guests get pretty psyche to pick out their room. Unfortunately, due to maintenance issues, sometimes we have to move people, which can have mixed results. Understandable. Which is why we weren't surprised when Karen was upset over our room change because she chose the perfect room for her husband's birthday. That doesn't make her a Karen. We got her an upgrade and can't the difference. Her original booking had 4 boxes of chocolates on it. When she got in, she was mad when she was charged for them because I changed my mind. Why did you charge me? Probably still upset from the room move, still hardly Karen behavior. I'm told all of this when I walk in for my morning shift and armor up to deal with an upset guest. Around 10 a.m. Mr. Karen comes down with his arms full of stuff. Now their new room is on the 3rd floor and we have no elevator, historic building. Then he goes back up for a second armful. On his 3rd trip down, Karen is with him carrying just her purse. Now the Karen behavior starts. Karen screeches at her husband, "Put that down and go back upstairs and get my sunglasses." Mr. Karen puts his things down immediately and wordlessly goes back up the stairs. Karen stands on the opposite end of the lobby from us while my managers and I brace for the rant about to come. After about 5 minutes, she scoffs. Then scoffs again. Then pulls out her phone and calls Mr. Karen on speaker. "Karen, what is taking you so long?" "Mr. Karen, I'm trying to find your sunglasses." "Karen, they are on the nightstand next to the bed where I left them." "Grab them and get down here now." Hangs up. A moment later, he comes down. Karen snatches the sunglasses out of one hand and the room key out of another and tells him to go take the rest of the stuff to the car. She then marches over to our counter and drops key in survey. We hand each guest a survey to fill out so we can spot problems, and marches out the door. Hesitantly, I pick up the survey, dreading what it may say. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. "Had a wonderful time. Can't wait to come back. Dear, if that was how you act after a 5-star experience, and on your husband's birthday, I'd hate to see what a bad day looks like." Our next post is by TwoWood2Woo. "I know this is very different to the usual hotel front desk stories, but I didn't know where else to post, so, to keep things very vague for privacy, I work in a charity currently helping provide emergency food support to those struggling due to COVID-19. We offer 2 types of support. Food parcels, pretty standard stuff really, given to anyone who is struggling and is free. Food shopping, if you have been told to stay at home by the government as you are an at-risk group, and have no friends or family who could do shopping for you. That is, if you have no way of getting food, a volunteer will do a food shop for you with a voucher. Pretty simple, right? Well, a few weeks ago I get referred a woman. Now we are given a handful of details by the call handlers, and so my notes said that she wasn't shielded. Now, that automatically rules her out for a food shop, as we are incredibly limited on volunteers, and so you have to be shielded to qualify, as it's just for the very vulnerable, like old people. I call her up anyway, and ask if she would like a food parcel, as we can give them to anyone. I ring her, and she answers the phone whilst in a shop. She says that she doesn't want a food parcel, as she got one last week, but didn't use any of the stuff in it as her kids didn't like it. I tell her that we can remove the stuff they don't like from the food parcel and replace it with stuff that she does. She says she doesn't want the food parcel, she wants the food shop, because her kids won't eat any meat which comes from a tin and will only eat fresh meat. I explain that she isn't eligible for a food shop because she isn't shielded. She says she is self-isolating, to which I point out that she answered the call in a shop. Yeah, well, I just really needed some milk, so I went to the corner shop. I can go out, but I can't handle big supermarkets. Okay, fair point. Some people are like that. At this point I go to my supervisors, who firmly say, she isn't shielded, she's going outside, she doesn't need a food shop. So I explain that she can have a food parcel, but not a food shop. Why is it my friend got a food shop but I didn't? Does my mental health not make me eligible for it? Does my mental health not matter to you? My kids can't eat anything in a tin, they need fresh meat. Don't bother, then. This is just a conflation of many points she made during this conversation, and so she's refused the offer of a food parcel. With nowhere else to go, I end the call, politely. Now, I can understand if you're lactose or gluten intolerant, and you need specific foods items. But ma'am, your kids wanting fresh meat isn't a dietary requirement. It's being spoilt and fussy. I have spoken to people who are living in absolute poverty who are so grateful for the food parcels we give them. You are literally rejecting the offer of free regular food parcels because your kids are so fussy they won't eat tinned meatballs. Our last post is by Gravel Angel. I had the extreme pleasure of training a new hire yesterday. 10 years of experience in our brand, great work ethic, extremely personable, and jumped right in like they had been there for years. My GM has the uncanny ability to find stellar team members and once again did not disappoint. This AGM was able to concentrate on my official roles after a brief introduction to the property and the quirks of our PMS. I bought us both dinner, so we could get to know each other, and I see great things in this new hire's future with our hotel. My GM is building another super team, and I'm seeing light at the end of this long, dark COVID-ridden tunnel. I'm not even mad that I ripped my favorite skirt while turning on the water for our water feature. May you all be blessed with awesome co-workers. That's it for Edit Reddit. I hope you enjoyed. Please leave a good rating, as that really helps me out.